The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Welcome to The Surrogacy Lawyer, your guide to IVF and third-party family building. Your host is Teresa M. Erickson, Esquire, attorney and counselor at law. Teresa has built her career around helping others to create families in a non-traditional way. Now she is here to assist you. Here's Teresa Erickson.
Good morning or good afternoon, depending on where you're at, and welcome to the Surrogacy Lawyer Radio Show, your guide to IVF and third-party family building. And I'm your host, Teresa Erickson. Thank you for joining us today. And on today's show, we have with us Dr. Craig Sweet. He is a IVF physician whose passion is not only helping couples get pregnant the natural way through IVF, but also through embryo donation. And Dr. Sweet, I'd like to welcome to our show.
Well, good day to you. Nice to finally speak with you.
Thank you. And I want to kind of jump right into, you know, the embryo donation program, because it's something that, you know, I personally talk to a lot of clients when, you know, they're going through the process on, you know, what to do with their embryos. And of course, when they speak to me, they're really at the start of their journey. So it's really the last thing on their mind is what to do with, you know, excess embryos. Actually, that's their hope, that they have excess embryos. But I find, you know, a lot of clinics do not really want to be involved in embryo donation. And I kind of want to find out from you why you decided to start an embryo donation program with, again, although it's becoming a little bit more common, it's still not the mainstream with most clinics.
I think you're right, although some of the clinics will say that they do embryo donation, but I think it's a minority that are actually actively doing it. I started in about 2001, interestingly. I've been in practice. We started our 20th year this week. So we had a large number of embryos, of course, frozen, but we started to see more embryos being abandoned. And, you know, many of us were surprised that patients would just all out abandon their embryos to us, and it became a really significant issue trying to find these people and make sure that they would designate their embryos. We wouldn't do anything without their permission, but we wanted to be sure to get the physician and permission, and finding them was a challenge. One of the options at that point really seemed to be embryo donation. They didn't necessarily want their embryos. They didn't want to destroy them. They didn't quite know what to do with them. And I accept some responsibility for that indecision, because I don't think, as a reproductive endocrinologist, as an infertility specialist, that I did the best job as I could have to sort of prepare them. What are their options? What can they do with these embryos? So this started about 9 or so years ago, at least in our practice. And it seemed like an excellent alternative for an awful lot of patients. It was more cost-effective than in vitro fertilization. Patients who couldn't afford egg donation, it was much less expensive. It didn't have all of the legal issues and time and money involved in adoption, although adoption was still a wonderful option for many couples. So it really made a lot of sense for us to begin to do it, and we have been doing it for about 9 years in a fairly consistent fashion.
Excellent, and I know it's one of the things that, you know, in general, a lot of you know, couples do not even want to think about. And I know, like you said yourself, which I thought was great that you admitted it, is a lot of people don't even talk to them about it. People are really kind of, like I said, when they speak to me, they're really like, yeah, I really don't want to deal with this right now. And yeah, I'm sure you probably came across that. But, you know, there are other concerns in terms of how we coin this. I'm very much for calling it embryo donation, and there are a lot of places, a lot of individuals, a lot of groups that want to call it embryo adoption. In fact, in Georgia, I'm sure as you're aware, has really put legislation into place to make that happen. Can you really describe for the listeners what the difference is between the semantics of embryo donation and embryo adoption?
As best as I can, at least
sure.
from my perspective, and I hope you'll be able to help me here from
sure.
the legal points of view,
mm-hmm.
Going from each side, embryo donation, it really, I mean, the words are important. I don't need to be telling an attorney this, but words are very important. And in this case, you know, donation really involves a type of a gift, and it's a voluntary activity. The word mm-hmm. adoption is a very, very much a legal term, and
mm-hmm.
you know, there's not a state in the union that doesn't have specific statutes regulating adoption there. And adoption really is the creation of a parent and child relationship. So it's involving a live child who has rights and somebody
right.
that is living and breathing. So there really is a difference here, I think, between a potential life, which is a cryopreserved embryo, and a true
mm-hmm.
life, which is a newborn child or a child. So that's one difference.
Mm-hmm.
Another is pretty basic, and that is embryo donation is really regulated by the FDA, the Federal Drug Administration. They regulate our donor programs, whereas, as I suggested here, adoption is really regulated by state, by statutes. Very, very
right.
different situations, you know, apples and oranges from my perspective. When a couple is needing or is wanting to accept embryos, we're doing a medical evaluation. I want to make sure that you know she's healthy enough to accept these embryos,
mm-hmm.
that these embryos have a superb chance of surviving. You know, I just want to make sure that this is going to work for both the patient and the embryos. And in the case of adoption, it's of course much more involved. Medical testing in some cases, but home studies and psychological screenings and the legal contracts and legal fees,
yep.
and all of the other aspects there. And I think that, and the last thing that I think of is when it comes to embryo donation, as with egg donation, sperm donation, as with in vitro fertilization, I'm trying to make the decision as a physician with the patient of who are the best patients for these particular situations. And for embryo donation, I'm trying to make sure that this is the right choice for the couple.
Right.
Whereas with adoption, you know, that's not my responsibility. That's an entirely
right.
legal aspect. And then if you use the term embryo adoption, as a number of programs are doing, I think there are agendas involved here, but if they
yeah.
use the term embryo adoption and they go through a home study and they're going through a psychological screening, I don't know about you, but in spite of my 20 years of helping couples, longer than that, trying to you know build their families, I'm not exactly sure how to figure out which parents are going to be good parents and which parents are not going to be the best parents.
I agree. I agree.
It's really, really hard, and I don't feel comfortable being in that position of being that judgmental.
Right. No, I agree. I think that's a good point. And cost is also an issue, too, because, you know, again, I am very much for adoption. I think it's a wonderful thing. It's how my mother found, you know, her parents and my grandparents, I should say. But when it comes to embryo donation and embryo adoption in terms of the terms, the cost goes up quite a bit, wouldn't you say, for the if we call it adoption, we have home studies, we have all these additional things that we don't necessarily have with embryo donation.
I think you're absolutely right. In fact, we think that the costs are at least doubling and possibly quite a bit more. We're trying to keep this as cost-effective as possible. We think that we've done that. And as soon as you start tacking on any extra fees, and one really has to be, I hate to say it, but a little bit of buyer beware here. You have to be a little
mm-hmm.
cautious about some of these hidden fees. As soon as you start throwing this on, and the costs begin to escalate, and
right.
I want to make sure that your listeners understand that you know, I wish embryo donation worked 100% of the time. It doesn't. These are frozen, cryopreserved embryos that were stored for a certain period of time, not all the embryos will survive the thaw, and not all the embryos will certainly implant, and not all of the implanted embryos will grow. You know, our take-home rates that we have seen, and one, again, has to be cautious to not just look at pregnancy rates, because that can be really misleading, but you really want to know take-home rates. You know, what, how likely is it that they're going to walk, they'll be home with at least one baby in their arms? And our rates range, because of certain issues, from about 27 to about 40%. And those are actually pretty decent numbers for frozen thawed embryos, but that seems to be about our range. I do know of some embryo adoption facilities that claim pregnancy rates over 50%. Yeah, but we all have those initial pregnancy rates. It's just they miscarry really early. And that, you know, that's not what the patients are looking for. They're not looking for a miscarriage. They want a baby to hold in their arms. So again, being very cautious about, you know, really getting the true statistical success rates for the facility that they're working with.
Oh, I agree. I think that's a huge point, and I talk to my clients about that a lot, and I want them to understand the difference between those two rates, and that is important. I think one of the overriding points for embryo donation is that if the woman is able to carry, it gives her the ability to experience the pregnancy and really bond with that child. Not that that's necessary, because we know that with surrogacy, you know, there is not a bonding issue necessarily, but I think it's a great option for those that, you know, are considering adoption but still can physically carry a pregnancy. I mean, don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely, but I'm going to bring the male side in, and that is, it's not just the woman that bonds with this pregnancy when the woman is carrying it. It's the husband. The husband bonds with this pregnancy as the tummy gets bigger, and you know, we want women to, you know, it's their right to have, you know, thick ankles and nausea and increase their weight and go through, you know, the full pregnancy, full delivery experience. It's their God-given right to throw up all the time in the beginning, and we want them to experience that. But again, I think, you know, guys sometimes get left out, but I think they bond just as tightly to these embryo donation pregnancies as they would a natural pregnancy.
No, I agree. Thanks for bringing that up. A lot of times I look from the female perspective, being a woman, so thank you for kind of adding that, because
I think that's
important.
That Y chromosome, it sort of comes out every so often.
Exactly. And before we really go further into, you know, how couples and individuals have to, you know, what the obstacles and difficulties that stand in the way for them, I really want to touch base a little bit in terms of what our listeners can see on your website. Your website, which is at dreamababy.com, I mean, you also have a blog, and you have a lot of information. Can you tell me a little bit about, or at least tell the listeners a little bit about what your website provides for them?
Well, the dreamababy.com website actually was started back in 98. It's one I created myself using FrontPage. Fortunately, I've got better people working on it now.
Right.
And it's got a lot of information, as you said, but most specifically, If you click that upper level, and we're actually going to be changing some of the navigation, make it a little easier for folks. But that top row that you'll see on the dreamababy.com site is all clickable. And you click embryo donation, and you end up with some really pretty decent information. And from there, it scrolls down into a lot of other stuff. For example, I wrote a piece with an attorney that I work with here locally, Hal Eskin. And he and I wrote this piece, Donation, Not Adoption, and we're trying to come forward, without getting off on a huge tangent, the American Society of Reproductive Medicine in December of last year came out really against using the term embryo adoption. One of the embryo adoption facilities came out against the ethics committee just a couple of months ago, and I felt I really needed to say something in support of the ethics committees. I thought that they did a good job. I thought they hit it head on this time. And so we had written this piece in response to this concern of ours. And then beyond that is some of the what I think is the fun stuff, which is finding donated embryos, donating your embryos. So patients can actually fill out the information online to donate their embryos. We try to make it as easy as possible for the donors, and for that matter, for the recipients.
Right.
If they want to come and fill out the information, it's not a commitment. It's just simply, you know, a hopeful intent. We'll take a look at their embryos and make sure that we think that we can find happy homes for them. But I think the part that we're most proud about is the last section, which is the search embryo donor database. And we don't charge, we don't ask for you to register. We just simply want you to come and take a look at it. And that is, you click on it, and the first thing you have to fill out is we need a little information about the person thinking of receiving those embryos. For example, if you were donating embryos, you may stipulate that you want to use a married couple or a single woman, or you want to use a certain religion. Those are, I think, very reasonable stipulations. And so we ask for the patients to first put those stipulations in, because we want to make sure that the donor's wishes are utterly honored. Then the next thing is that the recipients get to choose themselves. That is, they want Caucasian babies, mixed race, they want a certain religion, whatever it is, even hair color and eye color, although that gets a little complicated because we've got two people contributing to the hair color and eye color. So we don't guarantee that if the mom's a redhead and dad is blonde, that it's going to be a redheaded baby. You know, the genes do tend to mix. But at least it's a start of trying to find a little bit of the background for the embryos that, that people would like. And then when they get done with that, then it rifles through all of our embryos available. And I'm taking a glance now, and I know, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 sets of embryos are on the site, for which I believe 4 of them are reserved and some are still open. And they come pretty fast, and it's just so easy for everybody to put their embryos on and then to select their embryos this way from the comfort of their home anytime they want.
Exactly. And I really appreciate that. I mean, it's a wonderful spot on your website. So we're going to stop right here for a moment, Dr. Sweet, and take a short break. And again, this is Teresa Erickson with the Surrogacy Lawyer Radio Show, and we'll be right back.
Listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Whether you are looking for an egg donor, sperm donor, or surrogate as a prospective intended parent, Conceptual Options, a surrogacy and egg donation center, is there to partner with you for parenthood. By providing superior legal, medical, and psychological support to our parents, egg donors, surrogates, and sperm donors, Conceptual Options is a gold standard in the fertility industry. The center is known across the United States and the rest of the world for providing a 5-star experience, no matter where you are in your journey. At Conceptual Options, you are not a number, nor are we merely a matching service. Instead, we are there to provide you the support and guidance that you need during the most important journey of your lifetime. Located in San Diego, Los Angeles, and Miami, Conceptual Options is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at conceptualoptions.com or at 858-748-4222. Conceptual Options, partnering for parenthood to make your dreams of a family real. Check our website weekly for updates on upcoming seminars throughout the world or see our blog at surrogacyissuesblog.com.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked, and we've heard you. Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are You're listening to The Surrogacy Lawyer, Teresa M. Erickson. If you wish to ask a question or comment on today's program, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or you may send Teresa an email. The address is info@ericksonlaw.net. Now, back to The Surrogacy Lawyer, Teresa Erickson.
And hello and welcome back to the Surrogacy Lawyer Radio Show, your guide to IVF and third-party family building. Again, I'm your host, Teresa Erickson. And today we have with us Dr. Craig Sweet. He is with Specialists in Reproductive Medicine and Surgery located in Fort Myers, Florida. And we were just discussing his website and all the options, downloads, and where you can go in and see what embryo donation is, what it is, what it can be for you, and what's available. And I think, Dr. Sweet, welcome back. And I think I wanted to touch base and really ask you, what do you think some of the obstacles and difficulties that stand in the way from those who are considering donating their embryos?
Well, I think that there are many different reasons why people are considering donation. For example, if we've gone through an IVF cycle, here is one of our patients, and perhaps I transfer two embryos and two actually take, and their lives are very full, they have cryopreserved embryos, they need to make a decision, and you know, it's not raising two children simultaneously. I mean, that's a handful, and
right.
their lives may be very, very full, and yet they want to do something with these embryos. Their options, of course, are to use them to build their families. Would be to destroy them. We actually have a non-destruct policy in our practice and have for a number of years. It's not that... we just feel that the embryos need a slightly different level of respect compared to, for example, the sperm. When we're all done with it, it goes in biohazardous waste. We feel that the embryos, you know, they don't deserve quite the level of respect that you know, for example, you would get. But certainly their potential life, their potential potential families. So
right.
we try to discourage the simple destruction. We think they're better options. And the families can also donate their embryos to science, human embryonic stem mm-hmm. cell research, when the federal government is not playing games with it. They also can donate to laboratories for quality assurance and training. Or in this case that we're talking about, they can donate to needy patients. You know, when these patients end up having children, their view of these embryos change. It becomes potential
right.
siblings, almost like little babies. They have a greater level of worth. And I think people have a difficult time parting with them, and I understand that. I think there are also some other emotional issues, and that is they're afraid, for example, if they donate within their location, you know, their same region, that they're going to see their kids in the mall, or they mm-hmm. fear their children will intermarry with their children. And
right.
while these are possible occurrences, they are extraordinarily rare, astronomically rare. And certainly when patients donate embryos, we accept embryos from across the country, I think it gives a level of comfort when couples donate their embryos that they can donate outside their location. And
right.
and that takes some of this away, that they don't need to worry about, you know, they're going to see some kid in the mall and they're going to wonder if it's theirs, if it's their child.
Right.
I think that those are some of the big worries and concerns in many of the patients. It's not an easy decision. Counseling is available, not mandatory, but certainly available, and we encourage it whenever people are puzzling over this difficult decision.
Right, I think conversely, what are the issues that you think potential recipients face? Because, you know, there is the other side of the coin, especially, you know, I think one of the big issues would be, you know, disclosure, as in any form of gamete donation. But what issues do you think that these potential recipients face?
I think it's really a couple. One is when they decide to do embryo donation, these are very similar mindsets. When patients mm-hmm. are toying with the idea of adoption, they're already there with embryo donation. So if they've decided, you know, they're not going to be able to get pregnant using their own eggs and sperm, if that's not a viable option or affordable option, and they're kind of looking at adoption, foster parenting, then it's just sort of a kind of a natural move into this issue of embryo donation. So they've got to get their minds into that different mindset. I do think that understanding, and I did talk about this, this doesn't always work. I wish it did, but it doesn't always work. So there's the disappointment, there's the emotional disappointment. Are they ready that it may not work? And the financial issues, although it's much more cost-effective than other options, it's still a financial hit in these difficult times. We need to be aware of that. And then I think the last thing is exactly what you said, is disclosure. You know, when there's adoption, or surrogacy for that matter, I mean, those issues really need to be fairly open. It's pretty hard to suddenly have a child where there was no child, or suddenly, you know, in your arms, in your home, when you weren't pregnant, to suddenly be holding a baby. It's very hard to hide that. So those types of issues end up being very much open. Egg donation, sperm donation, you know, that may be very private, and friends and family may not have a clue about it.
Right.
Embryo donation, likewise, can be done in sort of a stealth mode. People mm-hmm. will have they can decide if they want to tell friends and family. Interestingly, a lot of people that tell regret it. I found that research fascinating coming out of Northwestern University. I'm a kind of an honest kind of guy, and I would tend to say, you know, you need to tell the child because you really don't want to have secrets. And yet, Northwestern's study showed that a lot of people, I'm sure you're aware of them, that a lot of people who told kind of regretted that they did. So there's this option, and I think they need to decide on if they're going to tell. I will tell you, it's not hard with sperm donor, egg donor, or embryo donor to get the pediatrician entirely up to speed with the right genetic information. You can have a little note card there to say your memory is a little impaired because you're a little sleep deprived, which is probably going to be true anyway.
Right.
You can rattle off the information about, you know, the sperm donor, the egg donor, or in this case, the embryo donors. And, you know, the honest to gosh, the pediatrician is not going to know the difference. And yet the important information will be in the... Hello?
Are you there? I think
I'm sorry. That got kind of loud there, too.
That's okay.
Okay. So I think there are ways that they can disclose, or if they don't want to, they don't have to.
And there's a lot of, I mean, one thing both you and I know is there's a lot of literature out there to help these couples with the issue of disclosure and whether or not they want to do that. I mean, it's not something that they necessarily have to go alone. You know, whether it's, like I said, with the help of this literature or actually with the help of a counselor in some way.
And they've got wonderful children's books now, too. They've had them for a number of years to help walk them through the process of how to tell their child. Not an easy thing.
Right. Right, absolutely, absolutely. And Dr. Sweet, we have to go to break again, but one of the things that I want to do is we do have Tori with us, who is, I believe she's one of your patients, or was one of your patients, I should say, and she's really going to tell us what she went through. She had this great thing that she was paying it forward with that embryo donation, which I thought was a great way to basically put what she and her husband decided to do. And when we come back, I definitely want to talk to her and talk to you about how you went through the process with her and helping her make that decision. So we'll be right back in just a few moments with both Dr. Sweet and Tori.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Whether you were looking for an egg donor, sperm donor, or surrogate as a prospective intended parent, Conceptual Options, a surrogacy and egg donation center, is there to partner with you for parenthood. By providing superior legal, medical, and psychological support to our parents, egg donors, surrogates, and sperm donors, Conceptual Options is a gold standard in the fertility industry. The center is known across the United States and the rest of the world for providing a five-star experience no matter where you are in your journey. At Conceptual Options, you are not a number, nor are we merely a matching service. Instead, we're there to provide you the support and guidance that you need during the most important journey of your lifetime. Located in San Diego, Los Angeles, and Miami, Conceptual Options is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at conceptualoptions.com or at 858-748-4222. Conceptual Options, partnering for parenthood to make your dreams of a family real. Check our website weekly for updates on upcoming seminars throughout the world or see our blog at surrogacyissuesblog.com.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news.
Stock prices plunging, home prices receding, and unemployment rising to levels not seen since the Great Depression.
How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to The Surrogacy Lawyer, Teresa M. Erickson. If you wish to ask a question or comment on today's program, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or you may send Teresa an email. The address is info@ericksonlaw.net. Now, back to The Surrogacy Lawyer, Teresa Erickson.
And welcome back to the Surrogacy Lawyer Radio Show, your guide to IVF and third-party family building. And again, today with us we have Dr. Craig Sweet. He's talking to us about embryo donation, as well as we also have an embryo donor herself. Her name is Tori. I'd like to welcome both of you to the show.
Thank
you. Hello again.
No problem. And Dr. Sweet, I wanted to start first with you. You know, what are some of the things that potential donors should ask themselves before they make it, they make a decision to potentially donate to other couples or individuals?
I think the big one is are they done? You know, what do they want to do with these excess embryos? Or have they finished with their family? Sometimes, you know, it's not all rosy. A divorce may have occurred and they need to make a tough decision about what to do with these embryos. They may be utterly exhausted, you know, just tired from the process, worn out, and they don't, you know, hopefully want to destroy them. There's an awful lot of good options out there. You know, for goodness sake, you know, send them for human embryonic stem cell research rather than destroy them,
right,
or donate them to the needy individuals and couples. So I think that those are all good questions to ask oneself before making that final decision.
And you did mention, Dr. Sweet, on your website, I mean, you know, embryo donors do have the option to be involved with the stipulating who, what type of recipient or what types of recipients are able to receive their embryos. I mean, do you see that that's a huge issue for people?
I think it's a very helpful issue, and you're absolutely right. That is the second level. First, you got to decide if you're going to do it, and then
right,
and then what kind of patients do you want to have your embryos? And that's
right,
where these stipulations come in. And patients are utterly free to do whatever stipulations that they want. Married, single, lesbian, homosexual couples, allowed, not allowed, certain religions. If the stipulations get too strict, though, we'll look at that and say, you know, I don't think we're going to be able to find recipients, and we will decline accepting those embryos. We don't want them to sit here unclaimed. We would rather that they would go someplace else where we'll be able to match them. That stated, the embryos don't last very long. People are, you know, tending there just aren't as many embryos out there and an awful lot of people wanting them. And so when embryos
right.
come in, they tend to get grabbed fairly quickly.
Yeah, you did mention that, and I think that's important for people to understand the lack of availability, because it really is something that a lot of my clients deal with. And kind of with that situation, what I want to do is I want to talk, Toria, I'd like to bring you in on this. I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself and your family and how you came to the decision of donating your embryos.
Well, first off, I'm married, and I have three children. Two were a product of, I have twins via IVF, and my other child I adopted from Guatemala. So I became an embryo donor. We created seven embryos. We implanted two, and we cryopreserved the remaining five. So now I find myself finished building my family. I have enough children now. Age is a factor. I'm rapidly approaching 40. So, you know, and they're in storage. They're sitting there. So,
right.
you know, my husband and I sat down and thought about this, and we talked, and we said, okay, so we're finished building our family. You know, we're getting up there in the years, and what do we do with them? Do we let them sit there indefinitely? I mean, I think we needed some closure.
Right.
Some closure to it. And the you know, we explored all the options that everyone knows, destruction, stem cell research, indefinite storage, and, you know, none of them really had the appeal as donation did, because we figured they would they'd go to waste any other way.
And what really was this decision-making process like between you and your husband? I mean, you mentioned in an email to me that you really felt like it was your way of paying it forward with embryo donation, because you were so fortunate to be able to have your family. And I thought that was very touching.
Absolutely. So where did
the point that you and your husband, what did you go through? What were your feelings like along the way?
Well, I think one important thing was we were pretty much both on the same page. I was thinking something, and he was thinking the same thing, you know, leading up to the decision that we just had to do something with them and just not let them sit there in storage. And we both figured, since we were so fortunate to have had, you know, the gift of life, that what better way to repay, just what better way to pay it forward to society, to the infertile community, to, you know, all of those people that are going through the same things as I went through, you know, the anguish and the anger and the jealousy and just, like, complete feeling of helplessness at some time, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, paying it forward, it's just kind of, you know, setting them free, you know, in life, kind of to see if, just to kind of see what potential happiness they can create for someone.
And did you choose to do it anonymously, or is it in an open donation?
It was anonymous. Yeah.
Okay.
And
why did you? Can you kind of tell the listeners why you came to that decision to do it anonymously?
Well, I just think that's the best way. I didn't think there was really a need in my mind, in our minds, a need or a desire to have an open communication. Because it's, I didn't think there was a reason to hang on to something like that. I mean, I think if I would have chosen that route, I don't think I could have donated them. I just think anonymous is the way to go. Just, I think I would have been holding on to something that isn't mine, because we're beyond genetics now.
Right.
You have to get your mind around the genetic part of it. So once you get your mind around the genetic issue, and you just treat it like potential life, you know, and setting it free and make somebody else happy.
Gives you your closure that you were talking about.
Yeah, the closure. I mean, if I would have donated them in an open setting, I don't think I would have had closure.
It would have just been
perpetuating things.
I think, Tori, you and your husband did ask that there was a regional stipulation. That is, that we not donate to a couple living in this very same region. Wasn't
yes,
that correct?
Absolutely, and that was my only stipulation.
Right.
Other than that, I didn't have any others. They married, single, didn't matter. Religion didn't matter.
And Dr. Sweet, with Tori's situation, I mean, what do you normally see with couples and individuals? Do you see more wanting them to be anonymous or open or somewhere in between? I mean, is there a standard or a percentage that you see coming through your clinic?
Well, in our particular clinic, you know, we've been running anonymous donations for all these years, just as we have with anonymous sperm and anonymous egg donations. You know, we rarely will do a designated sperm and occasionally do a designated egg donation, usually a sister or relative friend. But when it comes to embryos, I think only a couple of times have I ever donated embryos specifically designated from one couple to another. I think what Tori is alluding to, and I think it's an excellent point, is that if one is doing an open process, it's not, you're not severing your emotional ties to these embryos. You still have an attachment to that embryo, to that baby. And, you know, what happens if that couple divorces? What happens if they move away? How are you going to feel? What happens when they're raising that child differently than you would? And I think that having that communication sometimes may be excellent and other times may be disturbing. I think it may be difficult.
And I think those are some really good points. And I think, Tori, for you, what now that you've gone through this experience, I mean, how do you feel about it now? I mean, and what was the process like for you and your husband?
I feel absolutely great about it. I'm thrilled to know that hopefully they actually, you know, gave another couple a baby. You know, it actually worked.
Right.
When I first did it, after I left the office signing all the paperwork and, you know, going through the motions, mm-hmm. and I left the office, and funny enough, I had a very strong, very fleeting feeling of panic.
Oh, no.
I was like, wow, I thought I forgot something in the office. It was
right.
Weird. I mean, and then I kind of regrouped. It only took a couple minutes, and I said, oh, I just did something really awesome. I really did something awesome. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
A little feeling of panic there, I have to be honest with you. It was just an odd feeling that I forgot something in the office, something important. Yeah, so.
And I think that's a normal human reaction in terms of, you know, when you do something that significant in life. So with that, though, with your experience, what recommendations would you make to others who are thinking about donating their embryos?
I think that when they find themselves, as Dr. Sweet pointed out, in a time of their life where they need to make a decision about what to do with them, carefully weigh all the options and just reach back, and it's not that far back, reach back into your mind and into your soul and remember how you felt. Remember how you felt wanting that baby, and everywhere you look, there's a baby and a pregnant woman. It's just it encompasses your life. So think about how you felt and how you could help another couple by donating your embryos. I just think that there's just so much potential there in lieu of the other options.
Yeah, and that, I think, is great advice for anyone, and that's why I think that the listeners really should go to Dr. Sweet's website, thedreamofbaby.com, and go to the embryo donation click, and you really can download, or excuse me, you can actually go in and be able to look through what his program offers. And really what I want to do when we come back from the break, Dr. Sweet, is kind of talk with you and Tori about what a recipient should look for, what a donor should look for in an embryo donation program. And so I hope the listeners will join us with that. And we're going to stop right here. And this is Teresa Erickson. And this is the Surrogacy Lawyer Radio Show, your guide to IVF and third-party family building. We'll see you in just a few moments.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Whether you were looking for an egg donor, sperm donor, or surrogate as a prospective intended parent, Conceptual Options, a surrogacy and egg donation center, is there to partner with you for parenthood. By providing superior legal, medical, and psychological support to our parents, egg donors, surrogates, and sperm donors, Conceptual Options is a gold standard in the fertility industry. The center is known across the United States and the rest of the world for providing a five-star experience, no matter where you are in your journey. At Conceptual Options, you are not a number, nor are we merely a matching service. Instead, we're there to provide you the support and guidance that you need during the most important journey of your lifetime. Located in San Diego, Los Angeles, and Miami, Conceptual Options is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at conceptualoptions.com or at 858-748-4222. Conceptual Options, partnering for parenthood to make your dreams of a family real. Check our website weekly for updates on upcoming seminars throughout the world or see our blog at surrogacyissuesblog.com.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
Mark your calendar and set an alarm so you do not miss the highly acclaimed talk show, Holistic Living with Tina Marie and Todd Allen. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific for inspirational, oftentimes edgy discussions on all that life brings our way, with celebrity guests, world-famous authors, and everyday people dedicated to sharing positive, uplifting messages. Tina Marie and Todd Allen bring you the very best in talk radio discussions, guaranteed to make you smile.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to The Surrogacy Lawyer, Teresa M. Erickson. If you wish to ask a question or comment on today's program, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or you may send Teresa an email. The address is info@ericksonlaw.net. Now, back to The Surrogacy Lawyer, Teresa Erickson.
And again, welcome back to the Surrogacy Lawyer Radio Show, your guide to IVF and third-party family building. Again, I am Teresa Erickson, your host. And before we go into back to our guest, I just want to mention that next week's show, we're going to have Dr. Robert Kiltz, the medical director of CNY Fertility, and Kristen McNaka, the author of Love and Infertility, Creating the Five-Star Patient Experience. So that's next week's show, and I hope that you tune into that. Again, we have with us Dr. Craig Sweet and Tori, who was an embryo donor. And I'd like to welcome you both back.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
No problem. And so, Dr. Sweet, I think I want to ask you, and Tori, you can chime in at any point, too. What really should donors and recipients look for in an embryo donation program?
Well, I think from the donor's perspective, it needs to be about as simple as it can be. You know, it would be great as we were sort of joking on the website, you know, if only we could donate our embryos by clicking on some stuff and, you know, maybe just download it. Not quite that simple, but you want a program that's going to make things about as simple as possible. There are some guidelines that we think that the American Society of Reproductive Medicine have come up with that are, you know, they seem to be very unusual. For example, they say that people who are donating their embryos must have counseling. And yet people who donate eggs and sperm, and for that point even adoption, they don't have mandated counseling. It just may be there and it's offered. So while these are guidelines, and I usually adhere very carefully the guidelines, I looked at that one and said, you know, I'm going to make it available, but I'm not going to mandate it because I think it's somewhat demeaning and it is
right.
unnecessary and expensive. I think those issues, you know, there's never been a transmission of AIDS and hepatitis, anything ever documented on embryos. It's just too small of a collection of cells. And the society also recommends retesting of the parents for all of these sexually transmitted diseases. Well, again, this is a recommendation. The FDA does not require it. And therefore, I ask them, are they willing to have their blood drawn? And some are and some aren't. Some don't want to be bothered by it. And yet the embryos can still be used. And there's never been a transmission. So there's no risk here. It's just a matter of hassle. And how much do the programs make this easy or make it a little more challenging for those that are donating and on the other side that those are receiving? All the same things. The receiving couples end up, you got to be careful that they're not going to be stuck for costs that are not necessary. I mean, these folks are already all tapped out, and they're choosing this option because they're seeking a cost-effective option, and it just doesn't seem to be fair to suddenly come up with, you know, a few thousand here just because you're interacting with an adoption facility, or I know one of the places charges for keeping the records stored, I think almost $300 a year, but we have to store them anyway. The FDA requires that, and so to charge for that, it's just not kind. And I think to look for those hidden costs and issues, and I think that there are different philosophies. I think those that call it embryo adoption, you know, there's an agenda there. There are different feelings and thoughts. That's not to say that they're wrong. It's just they're different. And then you have others that, you know, we really are trying to stay with the legal term donation because Florida statutes are excellent and it protects everybody. And you want a state that has these statutes. You want a facility that adheres to those statutes. And you want to be protected during the entire process. I think those are, I'm sure Tori can come up with some other ones, but those are some of my big ones, are the costs and the philosophies and, I guess, experience and success rates and personalities, I guess, goes into all of those decisions.
And Tori, did you find that working with Dr. Sweet's program that was helpful, not having all of these additional things that you had to do? I mean, the emotional part of it was enough, but did you find that helpful?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he didn't, I didn't go through counseling or anything like that. No, I wouldn't have donated them to any other place or clinic other than Dr. Sweet's clinic because I trust him. I mean, I was his patient, so I knew he would, you know, knowing their practice and just, you know, knowing who they are and their ethics and their, you know, how they treat their patients, I knew that they would find a good home.
I mean, Tori, let me ask you, how would you and your husband have really felt if I said, okay, now you have to go see this counselor after you've already, you know, really talked about this? How would you feel about requiring that? I mean, how would you feel about
that? You know, I think it would make me feel like that you were questioning my decision-making skills, you know, or that I wasn't emotionally stable to make this decision or mentally stable, or that I need a third party to tell me whether I should donate my embryos or not, you know, somebody who's not even involved in my life. I wouldn't have liked that.
Yeah, I mean, you make a good point, Dr. Sweet, earlier also. I mean, first of all, that adds to the cost that the recipient couple is going to have to deal with to send her to her and her husband, Tori and her husband, to counseling. But I think one other important point is that you really do have, you know, over 10 years of experience with, you know, doing embryo donation in a very specific program. And you also mentioned that there's a lot of IVF programs that state that they perform it, but few actually do. So I think that's a big point in terms of, you know, making certain that when someone's looking for a clinic or a program, it's really one that's established and that really has the experience to say, listen, I'm not going to make you do psychological counseling. Don't you agree?
I think so. That's why they come to see you. It's because you have vast experience and you've written books and you know, you're an authority in this area. And when people are really, when such important decisions are being made and they want to feel safe, They want to feel cared for, and they want to make sure that they don't feel like they're being taken advantage of. That's why they seek, you know, the professionals such as yourself.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I think embryo donation is really something that is, that in general, I mean, and I'm sure both of you agree, that's really overlooked as an option. I think a lot of people like to just let them stay frozen and not deal with it, and just let the clinic deal with it. And I think that people really need to think through. Of course, once they've come to the point that they don't want to have any more children on their own, they really need to see this as a viable option. And, you know, based on what you've stated, Tori, and what Dr. Sweet has stated, I think it's important for people really to look at it as an option, look at it as a legitimate option, and see that there are people out there that are willing to help them make that decision and help them find the options that are there, no matter what they come to. And I think it's important, Dr. Sweet, I want you to please give out your website address again where the listeners can go to.
Oh, sure. It's pretty simple. It's www.dreambaby.com. That's dreambaby.com. I will tell you that we're spinning off, hopefully within the next few months, we're working really, really hard at creating a separate entity, really focusing on embryo donation. We feel that people need another option, and that business is going to be called Embryo Donation International. And we're moving ahead with that, and of course it's a lot of work, but we're very excited about it and really looking forward to giving patients another option other than the options that are out there currently.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know it's going to be very successful, as just as you are, and I think it'll make couples see the availability just like Tori did. And again, I want to thank you, Dr. Sweet, for being on the show today. And Tori, thank you very much for giving insight into what the decision you and your husband both made.
My pleasure.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Well, thank you. And we'll see everyone next week here on the Surrogacy Lawyer Radio Show, your guide to IVF and third-party family building.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Surrogacy Lawyer, your guide to IVF and third-party family building. If you want to know more, you can send an email to info@ericksonlaw.net. Please join us every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.